Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome, everybody, to the Hammer and Rails podcast. We are back with you after traveling for the holidays. With you as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
Pew, pew, pew. And I'm a rolling firework, Casey Bartley.
Oh, man. All right. So we're ready to go, as you can tell. So before we started, we mentioned, we usually do a question at the top, just something a little more lighthearted. Casey said he had one for me this week, so I will turn the mic over to him, and we will see where this goes.
Well, this is for future episodes. I was doing some research on football recruits.
You do research for this?
Like the 4 minutes I wait for you to sign on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just long enough to Google like one thing.
That makes sense.
I'm curious. How many out of the top 20 recruits all time at Purdue do you think you can name?
Football recruits?
Football recruits.
And it doesn't have to be somebody who like stayed their entire time?
Nope. This is literally just the 20 highest landed recruits.
Oh my God. Maybe
yeah,
like
it's not easy.
Maybe like seven.
Okay, let's try.
Because this only goes back to when the, like, what year does it go back to? Can you at least tell me that? Because it's only when
the
ratings began.
The oldest one here is 2001.
Okay. Yeah, I can probably get it. Maybe more than seven then.
Okay.
All right, so it doesn't have to be in any order. So
correct.
I will go Selwyn Lyman.
Correct. He is number one overall. I don't know who that is.
He was a wide receiver, highly touted, had a fantastic game against Notre Dame. I believe caught for over 200 yards. Later on, got like shot in the eye with an airsoft gun.
Oh, no.
Like screwing around. And he really only had that one big game. And then that was kind of it for him as far as with Purdue.
Damn. So just
and he transferred somewhere else. I don't know where he ended up. Okay, so after Lyman, I'm gonna go Kyle Williams.
Kyle Williams. I am checking the list. I have to scroll over. This is not the greatest, but I didn't have time to write everything down. No,
that's all right. No, really. Okay,
we're gonna go by the 3x rule, right?
Oh yeah, sure. Okay. So three strikes,
one miss, one hit.
Man. Now I'm questioning if I can even get seven. I'll go Rondale Moore.
He is on there. He is number 14, four-star 0.9123 rating. I forgot to give that for number one Selwyn Lyman, who was a .9787. That seems high.
Yeah, that's – and what was he, a 4-star or a 5-star?
He was a 4-star.
That, see, that seems crazy that you can be like a 97 basically and only be a 4-star.
I don't know enough about rankings of like, yeah, that – I don't know if you're a 5-star compared to everyone that year or if it's a score. I thought it was a score. Maybe it's .98.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it just seems like yeah. If you're at a 97%, it should be like, yeah, you're a 5-star player, but I guess not. Okay. Is Van Dyke on there?
Van Dyke is number 2.
Yeah.
Doug Van Dyke. Yeah. Defensive lineman, 6'4", 270. .9741 rating. 4-star.
Hold on.
Tell me about Doug Van Dyke. What do you know about Doug Van Dyke?
If he's the guy I'm thinking of, he is a guy who committed to Purdue, but also wanted to play football and then wound up.
He is a football player.
Or I'm sorry, baseball. And then he ended up going to play baseball instead of playing football. But apparently Tiller was like a real jerk about letting him out of his letter of intent. I think it's got to be the same guy. I can't find anything specifically on him, but I think that's him.
All believe you.
Yeah. I'm sure my brother, of all people, will send me a message and say I'm wrong. But
Mr. Karaoke.
What about – I'm trying to think now. Now I feel like there's a lot of pressure on me.
I feel like there's a couple obvious ones that you should definitely get. You got 3 right, 1 wrong right now.
Yeah.
2 wrongs left.
Well, that's good. Let's see. Does this count transfers?
This is just recruits we have landed.
So I'm wondering.
So it's everyone.
I mean, see, because I'm thinking Robert Marv would be on there, but I don't
know.
Oh,
no. Initial recruits.
Okay,
not
so
transfers
no transfers. Okay. Is Karlaftis on there?
George Karlaftis is number 3.
Okay.
.9705, 4-star, and a first-round draft pick to your Kansas City Chiefs.
What about David Bell?
David Bell is number 5.
Okay.
.9495, 4-star. Great wide receiver. Went to Cleveland. Our 2 NFL players right now from the last draft.
And who knows who will be his quarterback at this point. Just traded Baker Mayfield. Yeah. Got Deshaun Watson. Don't know what's going on there. So he's probably looking around going, I don't even know who the backup is.
Nope. Oh, it's Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett?
I do believe.
Oh, wow. Good for him. He keeps getting paid, I guess. Let's see. Is Al-Tariq McBurse on there?
That's a good question. Dun, 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 dun. Wrong. Second one.
Oh, man.
So you got 5 right and 2 wrong. No more X's left on the board. Next one and you're out.
What about Ray Edwards?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. And this game is over. You win no money.
Man.
You go backwards. So you You nailed 4 out of the top 5. Lyman, Dyke, Karlaftis, and David Bell. The number 4, I'll give you a little hint, great bowler.
That gives me nothing.
Neck beard.
Kyle Orton?
Kyle Orton, number 4,
.9681. Oh, 2001.
2001.
I guess he would have been 2001. I was thinking he was the year before, but yeah.
Mm. Yes, sir. And then a guy... Number 6, J.B. Paxson?
Oh, Paxson was the baseball player. Was the baseball player.
exciting news. 4-star quarterback coming in this year. Brady Allen, number 7.
Okay.
Transfer wide receiver to the Michigan State Spartans. Malik Carr was number 8.
Malik Carr. Yeah, I almost said him, but I wasn't sure.
Ryan Watson was number 9. And Brian Ellis marks out the top 10.
I don't think I know who Brian Ellis is.
Linebacker 2007.
Yeah. Yep. He barely played, and then he transferred, I believe.
A little bit of sad sauce. Milton Wright was number 13th best.
Oh, yeah.
He is now also gone. Alamo still around? He leave? We forget about him?
Yeah, I think we just forgot about him. I think he might still be there. It's tough to say.
And Marvin Grant was number 19, and he's gone.
Yeah.
But we have 3 of the top 20 on the team right now, at least. Yanni Karlaftis as well, number 17.
Oh, yeah. Wow, Yanni is one of them, too. Okay.
Yanni, 4-star. Karlaftis name carries a big way. Oh, and Joe Strickland, defensive lineman. So 4.
Okay.
4 of the best 20 recruits of all time on the same roster. Not bad.
So wait, are you telling me Kyle Williams wasn't on this list?
Kyle Williams. Did you guess Kyle Williams?
Didn't I say Kyle Williams?
I don't think you said Kyle Williams. Also not on the list.
He was Kyle Williams. He was a five-star recruit.
Not according to 247 Sports.
Oh, maybe it was... Hold on. Because he was a guy who, like, it was huge, huge news that Purdue got him. And then he had, like...
Was this before 2001?
This tells me it was 2005. Switched from Purdue, from Iowa to Purdue, played in a handful of games in 2005. He then, however, was arrested for assault, attacking a woman behind a sorority, and was basically never seen again.
Okay, well, glad we went there. Glad you asked.
He later served 37 years, has been sentenced to 37 years in prison.
God forbid we get through one of these without something tragic, so thank you.
But I'm saying I thought...
There was no reason to bring him up. No
well, one. Whatever. I thought I said Kyle Willis, but even if I did, apparently he's not on there.
Not on the list.
So wait, who did you read all the names?
I left off, let's see, I didn't say Ricky Collins.
Don't know who that is.
Nick Caraway?
I recognize the name, but...
Tyreek Murphy, running back.
Okay, yeah.
Marvin Grant, and then Ken Plew.
Ken Plew, 20. Of course, yeah.
6'8", 340-pound offensive
He was a
back.
Giant of a man.
Big boy.
Yeah, giant of a man. Okay, I finally found something on Doug Van Dyke. He failed to qualify academically, so he never even played.
See, big-time rate, big-time recruits. Way
they don't
overrated.
Work at Purdue generally.
Way overrated.
We don't do well with them.
We don't need them.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out for them or us.
No, no. I mean, if you get a chance, you really should look up Selwyn Lyman against Notre Dame because, it was really, truly one of the best games a Purdue wide receiver has ever had. And then just a confluence of events just led him to be injured, made some mistakes in his life, and then he was just off the team. I don't even know where he ended up. I don't know what happened to him afterwards, but it was in 2008. It was a loss for Purdue, 35-21, but he had 8 catches for 238 yards and 2 touchdowns.
That's a good day.
Yeah, I mean, and he just looked great.
That's a good day.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know
what
where
could
he ended
be,
up.
Never
but,
was.
Yeah, we have a lot of those in Purdue's history. You know, guys that show flashes of brilliance and then, for whatever reason, just don't put it back together. So let's see. Selwyn Lyman played at Purdue, signed by the Miami Dolphins as an undrafted free agent in 2008. However, it does not appear that he ever played in the NFL.
I'm noticing a trend.
Yeah. So it's That's tough, tough. He's apparently also the cousin of Bernard Pollard. So there's a little tidbit.
What up, Bernardy?
Yeah, so there we go. Well, that was fun. Maybe we can do this with basketball in a future podcast. But I would probably have to ask you that because I bet I want to see how many of those you get.
Right. It's no fun looking like the dumb one.
Right. That's fair. That's fair.
You get one, I get one.
Yeah, we've got to be equitable here. So there we go. So those are the top Purdue football recruits of all time. We're going to take a break, come back. We're going to talk about Big Ten expansion, baby.
Boo-boo!
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than they're worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
And we are back. So we were off last week. Casey and I both traveled for the 4th of July holiday. And some news broke while we were traveling.
Little news.
So the morning of Thursday, there was kind of rumblings. There was a random guy on Twitter who I'd never heard of, a sports reporter, basically said he'd heard that USC and UCLA would be joining the Big Ten as soon as 2024. An announcement would be coming, and everyone's like, this seems outrageous. I don't know who this guy is. But then, sure enough, you see somebody like Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic and every other sports writer who you know and trust to go and investigate these things is like, yeah, I that's what I'm hearing too. And Casey, what was your first thought when you heard these two names possibly coming to the Big Ten?
I thought about UCLA coming to Mackey Arena every 2 years.
Oh, yeah?
That's really cool.
Yeah.
There is, if you want to be this person, a demise of college sports that seems pretty on the horizon, and that is a concern. But for the right now moment and just trying to wrap my head around it, it's pretty much just like adding two really good non-conference games every year. And anytime you can add, I mean, those are two schools, USC to football, what UCLA is to basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a home run.
Yeah.
You had a handful of schools and you weren't worried about geography at all, which appears to be where we're
right.
At.
No, apparently no one is.
It's pretty cool. And I think the travel of it is a little overblown.
Okay, well, we'll get into that in a second. So, like I said, news broke early Thursday that this might be happening, and then I don't know if this was always planned to be released on Thursday, or maybe it was Friday, whatever day it was. I think it was Thursday. And
it was a day.
Yeah. And then suddenly that evening, I was actually using time to go on a stop with my son because, you know, you're riding across half the country with a two-year-old, you got to make some stops. So we're at a playground running around, and I check my phone, and sure enough, official tweets from USC and UCLA that they will be joining the Big Ten. And I mean, it is just outrageous. This is not something I would have ever thought was going to happen. Even when the Big Ten was adding, you know, Nebraska and Maryland and Rutgers, you never thought, oh, they'll add USC and UCLA, two of the biggest name programs in the entire country. Because even though, you know, Rutgers and Nebraska are kind of the bookends of the conference, they were still close enough, you know, near other schools that you could justify it. But now we're jumping from Nebraska all the way to California, and you see the map of Big Ten schools, and it just looks kind of silly right now.
Yeah. But it looked kind of silly once you had Rutgers and Nebraska. So you might as well, if you're going to be willing to add those teams, you might as well add good schools. Good schools are cool. And it's fun to go out to California, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Rose Bowl's cool. Coliseum's cool.
Very cool.
I like cool things.
Yeah, maybe, you know, Purdue and UCLA have a history, of course, with John Wooden.
Mm-hmm.
And with UCLA being the team that played the first game in Mackey Arena. So there's always history there.
Do they play for the John Wooden statue now?
It's possible. It would make sense to me.
John Wooden trophy?
I mean, you don't hear a lot about trophies in basketball. That's more of a football thing. But why not?
Why not?
You know, what's stopping us?
Nothing at all.
Exactly.
Also, USC is going to come to Ross 8. That's pretty
cool.
That will
be wild, yeah.
Why would that have ever happened before?
No, it
would. Now it does.
Yeah.
It's a win-win. It's a win for Purdue. It's a win for...
Absolutely. Like, I saw a lot of people on Twitter, and you mentioned it in your initial reaction, saying, you know, this is the death of college sports, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? This is how sports work. Things are moving around constantly. Everyone has called for or predicted the demise of X sport anytime they change anything. You know, the American League in baseball added the DH, and they're like, this is the worst thing to ever happen to sports. Well, now both leagues have it. The first round of conference realignment in college sports, and people are like, oh, no one's ever going to care anymore. They're getting rid of all these traditional rivalries. Well, guess what? The sports are just as popular as they were before these realignments. And you and I are not going to stop watching because Purdue will play Iowa less and will play USC more. I mean, how would that change my opinion of what I'm watching?
Less wins?
Well, maybe. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is the way it is.
Exactly.
Going to be two conferences. Count ourselves very lucky that we happen to be in one of the conferences.
Oh, you're damn right.
Because there's a world where we're in the Pac-12 of the Midwest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
there is definitely a world where Purdue is one of the teams sitting, looking around going, oh shit, they just took Ohio State and Michigan from our conference. Now what are we going to do? And, you know, we're looking at like the Mountain West trying to get an invite over there or something, you know?
So yeah, it's all gravy over here. Like we said, the broader college sports question is, everyone's going to blame the NIL stuff. It's not that.
No.
And this is directly lining up with a whole bunch of TV money about to come.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I think, the interesting part. Because not only are USC and UCLA going to be a part of the next TV contract, which is currently being negotiated right now with ESPN, Fox, maybe even other networks we've heard, maybe even some streaming services at this point. But if you can add two additional marquee names to your roster before that contract is signed, you're just going to get more and more money. And ultimately, whether we like it or not, and whether the traditionalists and purists like it or not, college sports is run by money. They need money to survive. They need money to keep the programs running. They now need money for the stipend that they have to give all the athletes, and they got to pay for these scholarships. So the more money each school can get, the better it's going to be for them. And as you said, college is moving toward, you know, gigantic super conferences. The Big Ten will now have 16 teams as of 2024, with a rumored offer still out to Notre Dame.
They're going to come, right?
I think they have to.
ACC is not going to be big enough, right?
No.
It's not going to be three conferences.
No, I don't think so either. Like, once all is said and done, I don't see how Notre Dame won't choose to come to the Big Ten. Now, when that happens, I don't know.
I don't think these things happen slowly.
Yeah, that's true. It's a lot of moving.
And if anything, it's Notre Dame, so maybe they're waiting a little bit to get a little limelight at a different time of year, maybe in like a month. But I can't imagine. I mean, they're out there alone. And if college football becomes two conferences and everything else is just left there, Big Ten's going to aim for what? Two or three schools in the playoffs?
I mean, that's
SEC,
the hope,
three or four?
Yeah.
And then it's... Something.
It's so strange because with now moving to 16 teams and you see movement in the Pac-12... apparently Oregon and Washington really want to join the Big Ten. I don't know if they leaked that information of like, hey, we're interested. And
I really want Oregon.
I do too.
I want Nike money.
The Big Ten is like, we are no longer interested in adding any teams right now. So like,
that's weird.
That's a good smack in the face to those guys.
I would take both of those teams over Nebraska, and I would take Notre Dame over. Are we allowed to kick people out? Because
I don't think we are at this point.
I guess Nebraska stays.
So I read a bunch of articles about these moves and about what could happen with the remaining like big name teams. And of course, Notre Dame is mentioned heavily in these arguments. And there was a piece on The Athletic talking about the money involved in these changes. And
$12.
Yes, it's $12, and it should be pretty exciting for all those schools. They get $1 for every sport. you mean this writer? I want to credit them properly. It's Matt Fortuna who wrote this back on the 7th.
Is that his name or his slogan?
That's his
name.
What
he stands for.
That, yes, I think it's
Matt,
Fortuna. It's Fortuna. So, although he may in fact be Fortuna, we will see. He suggests in his article that, given the fact that these contract negotiations for the new deal for the television rights are being negotiated right now, he believes it is highly possible that once these contracts are signed, that each Big Ten school will get $100 million per year out of this TV contract.
That's game wrecker money.
Yeah,
that's
$100 million,
and that's going to be with
year.
The conference only, right?
Yeah,
that's going to mean. Yeah, it's going to be the Big Ten and SEC. And then other schools are going to have to choose. It's probably going to be a lot of schools cutting a lot of sports, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And trying to be competitive in like one or two money sports, if.
So here's where the Big Ten is now, for those that don't know kind of the economics of it. Maryland and Rutgers are still not – and this is as of 2020. So,
are they not fully vested?
Yeah, basically, they're not fully vested. They're still getting not a full share. In 2020, the payout
is Nebraska.
I believe Nebraska is. So in 2020, each of the 12 longest standing members, this is according to USA Today, received $54.3 million. Maryland received 27.6, and Rutgers received 11.4. I'm not sure why Maryland and Rutgers received different amounts. But that is what they say. So if you take those numbers at face value and assume that the information is correct, this piece from The Athletic is arguing that that money could double with the next television contract. And that is just an astounding amount of money for all these schools to work with. And especially for a school like Purdue, who, we're not Notre Dame, we're not Ohio State, we're not Michigan, but we're also not Northwestern. We're a middling kind of funded program in the conference, to suddenly get an extra $40 to $50 million per year dumped on our lap is absolutely astounding.
I like it.
It's crazy to me what they could do with that additional money.
I mean, we're gonna have to do something so we can't pay players.
Gotta
spend
right,
it somewhere.
Yeah, you gotta continue to be a
gotta
nonprofit.
Gotta keep using it elsewhere.
And further on, Sports Illustrated says that the SEC payout in 2020 was $45 million a school. Big 12 was anywhere from 37 to 40, and the Pac-12 was approximately 33, with the ACC being anywhere from $30.9 to $37 million per school. So Big 10 leads the pack there, and then it could double. So, with Notre Dame currently being affiliated with the ACC – assuming the high end of that range is correct and they're getting $37 million right now to the Big Ten's 54.3, they're already missing out on $17 million a year. So if that goes to $54 million a year $57 million a year because of pride and not wanting to join the Big Ten or not wanting to officially join a conference.
Bye.
Yeah, you got to check your pride at that point.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, they were honest about it, and the reason Texas looked into being independent, because for that small little window, it was financially and football playoff-wise better to be an independent. That's not going to be true anymore.
No.
Because I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't know how much you can control this, but if they get in negotiations and they're trying to get Notre Dame, and Notre Dame doesn't come to the Big Ten, what's the chances you think Big Ten teams are going to still book them?
I think it's still probably pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean,
USC's in the Big Ten now. That's another natural rival for Notre Dame.
Yeah. Well, and that I think that is an argument for Notre Dame joining the Big Ten.
Correct.
Because so many of their rivalries are now in the conference. Whether they like to admit it or not, we have we've played them the most times of any opponent. And then they've got a rivalry with Michigan, a little bit of one with Michigan State. And then they've got USC. So that right there is four games against, you know, rivals that they could then just put in their conference schedule and allow them to do whatever the hell they want with their non-conference schedule.
Yeah. We're talking about how geographics don't matter, but that's always made sense for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
All the rivalries. I mean, it's a home run for both because they're guaranteeing like six rivalry games a year. And pretty much every team in our conference is adding a huge rivalry. Like Notre Dame, Purdue, and Mackey. Ooh.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Ooh. Just do it. Come on, Notre Dame. We've all watched your dumb NBC game for this long. There's no way they're paying that much. They have Drew Brees buyout to pay.
Yeah. So do we think this is ultimately going to end up like the NFL where it's going to be Big Ten and SEC as like the AFC, NFC with one being on Fox and one being on, I don't know, ABC or ESPN or CBS, some other network?
Do what now?
So you know how the NFC and the AFC, mm-hmm. the NFC games are on Fox, AFC right. games are on CBS. Do we think ultimately when all this realignment is done, there are going to be basically, as you said, two big, gigantic mega conferences, mm-hmm. the Big Ten and most likely the SEC. Do we think it's going to be, since Fox already owns part of the Big Ten network, is it going to be, hey, Big Ten games are going to be on Fox networks and SEC games are going to be on ESPN networks?
I don't know if it's going to break down that clean. I wonder with like Apple and Amazon wanting to get so much into sports, is it going to be less full rights and is it going to be more, are they going to pay four games specifically and they'll be on different networks and, you know, one game, almost like pay-per-view football matches at this point. But at the same time, controlling a whole thing is big. So I could definitely see it where I would imagine they go with someone, maybe they go with one streaming and one cable. There's so much money and it's changing so quickly. I don't know how anyone has a full grasp of what's happening.
No, I don't either. And companies like Apple, who are trying to allegedly get both DirecTV, Sunday Ticket.
Monday Morning Matinee.
Yes, the Monday Morning Matinee package. They're trying to get NFL Sunday Ticket, allegedly. And they've now started airing baseball games on Apple TV this year. Which, Casey, I had to say that because I know you didn't know. Baseball hater over there.
I can't believe I missed all that fun.
Apple is a trillion-dollar company. Apple has money to just throw around. Yeah, they have money to throw around. Same thing with Amazon. You know, they have bottomless pockets. And if they truly want to get into sports and they want to get something that people are going to watch and pay for their services, whether that be Apple TV Plus or Amazon Prime, getting the Big Ten rights or the rights to, you know, SEC football would be a huge thing for them. And they would be willing to overpay for that. So that would mean yet more money for schools like Purdue.
Yeah, and you got, I mean, avenues towards, you know, Big Ten Network does this already where they do little, you know, special episodes and podcasts or whatever. But the more this goes around into new networks and everything, the chances for documentaries, player podcasts, they're now allowed to do things like full-time access. We'll probably, I mean, I'd be shocked if not in 10 years they're starting to get, you know, Hard Knocks for College Football.
That's
stuff,
you know,
like
I was
that.
Just thinking, like, that same thing.
I can't imagine we're not going to. I mean, these players are smarter about it. They're going to want to because they're going to know that's where money is. So I would be shocked if this isn't just the dawn of a very, very big spotlight on college sports and the people and just the personalities in it going forward. And they're going to be better at not being exploited, but almost exploiting themselves and learning how to use that image now that they can get paid. Like, this isn't going to be just one thing. It's going to be 10 to 15 to 20 and whatever conference. I think part of the reason why being in one big giant conference with that much money is going to be an advantage is because you can kind of get away from the NCAA a little bit, who is as far back in the times as you can possibly get, and start, you know, looking ahead and like breaking ground on some of this stuff. And it's going to be a two-person race between SEC and Big Ten, because whatever conference does that better, the players are going to go to. Mm-hmm. And in theory, whoever the players go to, the schools make more money.
Yeah.
And we all know college sports, all about the players.
Yes. Yeah. That's what everyone says. I mean, you make a good point that this is all cyclical and kind of related to the future. I mean, if these teams that are in the Big Ten start doing well, make more money, the schools invest more money, become, you know, the places where players want to go, then ultimately it makes those the destination schools better players, more money comes in, more player. You know, it's a self-perpetuating cycle once that money keeps flowing in. And it just seems like, you know, I know a lot of people have been shitting on Kevin Warren as the Big Ten commissioner because, you know, Delaney was such a powerhouse in college sports that anybody who followed him up was going to have problems just perception wise. But he pulled this off with not nary a leak in the entire process. No one had any idea this was going on until no one had any idea until the day of. And then this comes out and we're talking about schools making upwards of $40 million more, maybe $50 million more per year once this new deal is signed. And there were articles a few months back about, you know, why the Big Ten hasn't signed their new TV deal yet, blah, blah, blah. Well, now that this comes out, I mean, it all makes sense. Kevin Warren knew something was going to happen. He knew he was close to making this deal. So why would he make a deal with a TV network or a streaming service without information available?
You know how I said I wanted $1.5 billion before now?
Right.
I have USC and UCLA now.
Yeah, the price just doubled.
The price has gone up.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be able to just go in there like a mafia.
Say it. Enforcer. Big dick swinging. Come on.
Well, I wasn't going to go there, but I mean, it's he has so much leverage in these TV negotiations because studies have shown time and time again that, you know,
7 out of 8 dentists agree.
Exactly. And that eighth dentist, no one knows what's up with him.
Trojans are good for your conference.
Not touching it. That the biggest thing that people still watch are live events, whether that be sports, whether that be those weird, you know, live musicals that they've been doing, sports, live musicals, award shows. Those are things that draw huge audiences. Contest. Hot dogs eating contest. You know, if it's a live event, those are the things that people tune into, which means you can charge higher ad rates, which means the network is making more money. So really, the more of those that you have, the better your network can do financially. And Kevin Warren can lay that all on the table and say, you're going to do great if you have our games on. So, you know, let's just swallow our pride. It's a lot of money, and I know that, but it's going to be worth it in the end. So let's just write a check.
Yeet.
It's crazy. I do too. I think like a lot of people on the message boards and on Twitter are like, this is destroying college sports. And well, I guess I'm never going to watch. Shut up.
Yeah. Oh, just man, shut up. You got nothing left to do.
Exactly. You are going to watch these games. You're going to be just as excited as I am the first time you see USC play a football game at Ross-Ade or when you see UCLA come into Mackey. I mean, it's going to be really cool. It's something I'm really looking forward to. Is it the traditional Big Ten? Absolutely not. You know, there are now 16 teams in the Big Ten as of 2024, but
that's six more than 10.
That is good math. That checks out. But I mean, like you said, sports were going this way and you either adapt to it or you die.
Dark.
Well, you know, look what's going to happen to the Pac-12. We don't know if the Pac-12
pack attack quack years. Quack.
Exactly.
I hope we get Oregon.
It would be good. I don't know why we wouldn't go after Oregon. I don't know about their
Washington.
Well, I don't know much about their academics, so maybe that's an issue. Because even though I think it's Nebraska is no longer an AAU school. Every school that has joined the Big Ten, I believe, has been AAU at one point or another. So that does matter. But I don't have a list of the AAU schools in front of me, so I don't know if Oregon or Washington
Nebraska
are on that.
Will take anyone.
Yeah, I mean, we already reached to the bottom of the barrel. Let's see what's in the next one. So I think it would be remiss if we didn't mention one more thing about this, and you touched on it briefly. I do wonder how this is going to affect the non-revenue sports. Traveling out to California, whether to be against UCLA or USC, it is going to be a real drain on a lot of these budgets.
Well, they're going to have 50 more million to play with.
We hope they have 50 more million to play with. And if so, that alleviates a lot of these problems. But for the athletes themselves, I do hope that whoever is doing this scheduling figures out a way to not have, especially during basketball season, you know, go out and play USC on a Tuesday and then come back and play Nebraska on a Thursday. You know, you got to be equitable somehow, and you got to figure out how to treat these new West Coast teams.
It shouldn't be that hard with just two of them.
I wouldn't think so either,
there.
but the way
you just make a West Coast trip, and
yeah, but I mean,
they
the
come
way,
in for two.
Yes, but the way that they do Big Ten basketball scheduling, you know, you can play three games in a week, and that third game, you know, if you go out play USC, then play UCLA, you better hope that maybe they only give you two games that week.
Give me 1% of that $50 million, and I will do the schedule for them.
Yeah,
it'll
okay.
be fine.
Just open up Excel, start throwing some stuff
got
in there.
It.
Yeah. So I really hope that additional money does come and that does help those smaller programs and smaller sports, because we don't want to lose those because they mean a lot to those athletes, they mean a lot to those coaches and a lot to those fans. So I hope that the additional money can help them find a way to keep that going.
It'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah. So Casey, any final thoughts on the Trojans and the Bruins now being Big Ten programs coming 2024.
Can't wait to get through this football season. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, we've got now Big Ten legends, Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart. So he's a Big Ten guy now. So we'll see what other, you know, they are probably, the Big Ten Network is absolutely going to do like a Big Ten legends thing on Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush.
That Rose Bowl game?
They're just, with the Texas one?
Yeah,
that I think was at least the top two college football game I've ever watched.
It was pretty great. Now we get that in Ross Aid.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be like that every game. So the other game, in case anybody's curious, I would say the Fiesta Bowl with Boise State all those years ago, where they threw all the trick plays. That was an incredible game to watch.
Ohio State Miami was pretty good.
That was pretty good, too.
Pretty good.
Yeah. But there we go. So Casey and I...
UConn Purdue. Pretty great.
Yes, UConn Purdue up there. You know, it's people don't talk about it enough. Not enough.
Do you see how many quarterbacks we got to play?
I think we played about four.
Yeah.
So there we go. Casey and I, big fans of this move. I think it's going to be a little awkward in the beginning. You're going to hear a lot of squabbling, a lot of bitching and moaning from some of the more traditional fans. But it's a great move for the conference. It's going to be a lot of money for Purdue. And really, that's all we're here for, is helping Purdue. So $40 to $50 million a year additional, I'll take it. Let's go. So there we go. Boiler up, folks. That's it for us.
Boiler up. Boiler West.
Boiler West. It's like, you know, Purdue West. They always had that store or the shopping center, Purdue West. Mm-hmm. They knew all those years ago.
There it is.